Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Jason Gibbs, our producer, playing the appropriate music to honor the appearance, briefly but always impactful, by Macho Man.
And he's out.
When you bring him back from the dead, it's, and you know what? You don't get that on any other show in the country, let alone maybe in the world.
I venture to say you do not.
You don't. It's just something that's special from CBD and has been since. You know, it's coincidental, since July, since you joined the show.
It's strange.
We've done this.
That is a weird.
Isn't that a weird coincidence?
That is weird.
He's always
next
been,
time,
I mean, he's been up
because
there.
People are trying to say that it's me. Next time, I'm going to interview the match.
Yeah, let's do that.
I will conduct the interview.
All right. I mean, I just enjoy talking with him because I'm a big fan. Hey, by the way, Browns fans, speaking of fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. We're going to get into some sound from Mike Pettine. He was interviewed on the special combine special that was done here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Yours truly was on that with Aaron Goldhammer. We also had Eric Metcalf on that show. And Eric Metcalf is going to join us today, by the way, at 2 p.m. And then we'll hear from Gerard Scheer. Are we going to hear from Gerard Scheer? Yeah, we're going to hear from Gerard Scheer at 2:45 later.
Sure.
On. All right. But before we go there, another topic. And I think I want to get it up because it's been out there, about the NFL getting ready to adopt penalties in a game if they hear the use of a racial slur. And basically, if players get on the field and use those slurs and they're heard, expect a 15-yard penalty or some sort of unsportsmanlike conduct penalty or something. And I find this thing fascinating for this reason. I mean, anything that could take some of the ugliest language out of any place that we're around, or in this case, players around, I'm fine with that. But why has it taken this long? Because as long as I've been around the game, we know those racial slurs have been out there. We believe they've been used in football. Are they being used more now than before? And I'm not so sure that's what's happening here. I think there's a proactive reaction to try to, quote, change, have like a cultural impact, which, again, I'm not saying is a bad thing, but I'm just a little, you know, why now and what took so long on this?
I talked to a bunch of players who have played in the NFL, guys that I have worked with, and they all happen to be African-American, and they think that this is maybe the dumbest thing that they've ever heard.
Yeah, because I'm hearing silly is the word.
They think it's silly. You can't even tell you. He said basically there would be, by their estimation, 5 penalties at a minimum on every play, and typically it's never going the way that it would be being used as a slur. It's not going from white players to African-American players because that would cause all-out melees and brawls. This is something that is going on, as they explained it, all the time between each other.
Yeah.
And that penalizing that would be ridiculous. And how are they going to know, you know, if it happens behind the ref, how's he going to know which team's player actually said it? Basically what I got is this is absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, it seems pretty manufactured. And does it really do anything? Does it truly discourage, and you're counting on it being heard or overheard by officials? What if you're saying it downfield in a one-on-one situation? So what does a player who, say, away from the earshot of the official come back and say, hey, called me this?
Tattletale. Yeah,
you know,
me a tattletale.
How cool of a look is that for the guy when the other guy says, wait a minute? You know, and then it's worth, I'm just saying, it enforcement of it, I think there is
impossible.
A certain level. And is it even possible to do? No.
Impossible.
And Jim Brown is not for this, and this is what he had to say.
I'm unhappy that the league is putting in so many rules that eventually the game will be controlled by the officials. Having said that, I think that the N-word has no place in our society, but I really think that the pressure should put on the ownership of the teams, and the teams should establish dignity within themselves. In other words, I think that some things should be left up to the captains, the coaches, and the owners to rectify their organization, to make it a hard-hitting football organization without all of the other things that's going on. But I don't think that 15 yards is going to make that much difference.
Okay. And again, what I was told from players, multiple players who played in the game, and I'll be curious to get Eric's take on this and to get Gerard's take on this, that this is, they said, trust me that if it happened where a white player said it as a racial slur to an African-American player out there, it would be handled out there, and it would be, the penalty would be a lot worse than any 15-yard.
Of course.
That's not what, that word is not being used that way on the field.
No,
that's not happening.
No, it's not happening that way, or if it is, it's extremely rare based on what I know, too, having been around this game. But let me say this, what Jim Brown said, too, about the word. I hate it. It's as offensive to me probably as anything, any word, period.
Yes.
That's out there. Okay. It actually, I get like at times physically almost ill with the thought of it. I can't, you know, thinking about it bothers me. I don't like to hear it when I hear one African American say it to another. I don't. I don't like to hear it in lyrics of songs. If I happen to stumble upon that on my radio, and
when
I would have to stumble.
When you're getting into your rap,
getting into
your
the
hip-hop?
Rap genre.
Uh-huh.
No, I can't. It doesn't work for me in any level, and in no possible way, shape, or form is it something that I want to be around or know. Now, where Jim Brown said, anything that would discourage it, he would be for. But adding a penalty, this is where I step into making the officiating of games, which is already pretty darn complicated and probably lacking in quality and efficiency because of more layers and layers of stuff that officials are being asked to police. And throwing this on the pile, I don't think is good. This is what Chris Carter had to say about it.
If you want to work in the NFL, the NFL should set the standard for what they want. In our workplace, there's not going to be the use of the N-word. Now, Michael Wilbon can be comfortable with it, but if he was playing in the NFL, and if he was playing for my team, if he used the N-word, he'd have to find employment somewhere else. Now, I wish the players, but we don't have a lot of African-American players that are great leaders right now that would take the forefront and be like, I understand what the situation is right now. And forget what the hip-hop culture is doing. That's normal for them. Jay-Z can say the N-word and make millions.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Carter lays it out in this context, and I've been following his dialogue on it with Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio, of course, heard here on ESPN 850 WKNR, where he basically says in the private workplace controlled by the National Football League, they could set whatever rules they want, and you have to adhere to those rules. He's saying those who would object to being told by basically, as it was placed, a bunch of old white men what to say or what to not say that fits in your cultural lexicon is not something that they should be, those old white men should be in charge of. And honestly, what Chris Carter is saying, yeah, they can. It's their business. It's their show. It's their league. It's their game. And you work in that environment, just like a workplace environment that we have right here in Berea or anywhere else. There are work rules that go with it.
Agreed. But where do you draw the line? Is it just the N-word? Is it if you're talking about a player's sexuality, which now certainly could be at the forefront? When I talk to players, the one thing that they say is off limits. They say you can call me any word or any name in the book, but when you talk about my family, so is that going to be a 15-yard penalty? Where does it go? That's why I think the policing should be done on the field by the players, and I think Herm Edwards would agree.
I would hope this, though, that we wouldn't need a rule. And when you think about the league is 70% black. The players alone can clean it up if they would like to. But remember, this is a competitive environment, and it's very difficult all of a sudden for the officials to sit there. They can't get helmet to helmet right. It's hard for them to call pass interference. Now all of a sudden you got to listen to conversations of players.
Yeah.
Very difficult. What if a player says that to his teammate? What are you going to do, give him a 15-yard penalty?
Yeah, this is where this comes down the pike. And I've heard that very thing that Herm said even before that. Sometimes it's teammate on teammate and not to provoke a fight or an argument. It's a teammate on teammate in an endearing way. So I don't care. In my mind, it's still, to me, it doesn't make it less ugly, but I'm with Herman Edwards. You're going to complicate an already complicated process of officiating. So that part of it doesn't fly. But can you be more proactive in I don't know, when you get players together to talk about them, among themselves, to talk about what it means to work in the world of the National Football League, some people don't want to hear this, but to be the role model thing, all those areas that you're looking at and what you have as responsibility and accountability, does that come into play? Jeremy in Parma wants to comment on this. Jeremy, what do you got?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
I agree with everything that so far has been said about this issue. I think it is a little crazy to actually affect the game itself. I look at it as this is a very high, tense, and emotional game. And when somebody acts out of emotion like that, sometimes they don't know what they're doing. And to expect, to get a 15-yard penalty off of something like that, I think is absolutely crazy. Now, I was going to ask you guys' opinion is maybe there's a different way to go about it. Maybe if they're using it excessively, maybe you have them sit out, or be fined or something like that, or I don't know.
Yeah,
but
something after
really
the fact.
Ridiculous.
After the fact. Yeah. Okay, Jeremy, thank you for that. And that might be a possible way to address it, is if you sort of I put it under the uniform code violation category, because you don't hear about those fines. Nobody really seems to care about those fines. And by the way, a lot of times, those are tied in with the deals, the sponsorship deals that the league has with its suppliers, like a Nike or whatever. But if you're wearing socks a certain way, the uniform police, and Felix Wright is the uniform police, at least the last I checked, for the Browns, former Browns DB, and they write them up. They'll give warnings, though, before games as they walk around during pregame stretches to give players a chance to fix the violation before they're fined. So if something like that goes on during a game, and I think Jeremy might be on something, and an official picks it up, he notes it and says, number so-and-so said this to so-and-so. But how you're going to, again, have proof of it, the officials are not going to be – are they going to be – having microphones on them so it's recorded, it could get very unruly and almost impossible, I think, to prove after the fact.
Yes. Yes. So very, very challenging.
Matt in Toledo wants to weigh in too. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, hey, guys. I guess three real quick points regarding this, and you just touched on one. How is an official at times going to know whether this came from the field or came from the stands right behind the field?
Or the sidelines.
Or the sideline. How are they going to make that judgment? Number two, it's well documented. Coach Lombardi, in defense of minority players, whether it be race or sexuality or whatever, he looked at it as his job to police this and his staff to police this in the 50s and 60s. It's not the job of the officials to deal with this. It's the job of the individual teams and their staff, their coaching staffs, and their executives to police what goes on in their own house. The league getting involved with this with officiating is absolutely bananas, because I'll tell you this, third point, the first time this is called against the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Cincinnati Bengals, Mike Tomlin and Marvin Lewis are going to be as upset that it was called as, say, Bill Belichick or Jim Harbaugh. It's not let the football people deal with it, not the officials, not people outside football deal with it.
Yeah, good.
I think that's a good point.
Good point. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
I think that's an excellent point, and it will. I would hopefully put it in the exploratory phase, and then after all the, we're asking and addressing reasonable questions about it. If those are asked in those meetings, you would think that could be enough to just say, all right, maybe we don't want to go down this road. With all due respect, though, for those who have their heart in the right place, their intentions are
agreed.
In the right place. That I can't fault. You're looking, what can we do about this? Because we think it's out of control is the question that's been asked by John Wooten and others who have a former Brown, the Hall of Famer. I know that's where a lot of the Fritz Pollard Alliance, where a lot of this has originated. I respect the daylights out of that guy. I love the guy. Talk with him a lot. Football philosophy, he's tremendous. But at the end of it all, you got to think this thing through in a practical way.
Right.
So.
It's got to be practical. I totally agree with that. All right. When we come back, we will actually hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, from the Combine show over the weekend when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns here on ESPN 850 WKNR.